All right. You guys know what movie that's from, don't you? Yeah, exactly. We used to be that way, didn't we? So what's going on, guys? You guys done with Christmas?
No.
Yes and no? So how was your Christmas? Was it a good event? Was it an experience? Did you experience God a little closer to God during the season? Or was it just something you did? You know, it's funny because I was watching on the news, and they always have, we always buy live trees. It's been a tradition. And as soon as they announce recycling, you already start seeing them piling up. It's like, it's just Christmas Day, and they're already talking about recycling, and there's people, you see them in the background chucking, they're already done with Christmas. I was like, I think you're missing the point a little bit, you know, because they really don't know what Christmas is about, right? Well, before we get started, will you guys pray for me real quick, and I'll pray for you. Before I forget. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for all that are gathered here. We pray for those who aren't, maybe traveling or maybe sick. Seems to be going around quite a bit, so just be with those people. Thank you for what you're doing here, God. Thank you for what you're doing all around the world, Jesus. You are a good, good Father. So we just thank you, Jesus, in advance. Please speak through me tonight, Lord God. I just pray that somebody gets a little nugget from tonight. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. So last week, Randy did the Christmas message. But I kind of wanted to, I kind of got to thinking, and post-Christmas chaos, now what? Now what do we do? It's the week after. Kind of a crescendo. Everybody's like, woo, it's Christmas. We're celebrating Jesus' birthday. And now we're this week, and where is everybody? That's how it goes, right? I mean, that's just ebbs and flows, right? So we celebrated the birth of Christ. We celebrate it all the time. Amen? It's every day for us. You know, we celebrate the big day, but it's every day for us. His birth, his death, and his resurrection every day. That's why we get to be a representative. So when you're reading every day and things like that, you can't help but not be excited about it, right? It's not just a one and done thing or a Christmas and Easter thing. So I've been seeing people in my neighborhood taking down decorations and things like that. Do you guys leave yours up till New Year's?
Yeah.
Well, Randy started a new tradition. He just leaves his tree up all year long. It's great. You don't have to mess with it, right? So the thing is, when you're taking down your decorations, don't pack Jesus up with your decorations and put them in the box until next year. A lot of people do that. A lot of people just, you know, they call themselves Christians, but they're like C and E's. They come at Christmas and Easter, and that's it. Which is sad because you're missing the point. We're supposed to do this all the time, not just whenever the big holidays come. So when you're cleaning your house and things like that, don't box Jesus up and put him away. Put him on the shelf. Keep him alive in your heart every day. You know, this week has been, I really don't know how to explain it. It's just been a little off. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, I don't know if it's the week after maybe. Every time there's a high, there's a low, right? And we know we can't live on the mountaintops. We live in the valley, unfortunately, and things roll downhill. But we can handle that because we're trying to grow and stay stronger. So most people, I don't know if you guys been on vacation this week. We haven't. We worked all week, so some people have schools going back, right? So we're going back to our routines after Christmas, right? So it's like, here we go, back marching to what we normally do. However, we got to keep the spirit alive, right? So I was thinking, and part of the story, and this kind of hit me last week when Randy was reading it, I was just like, let's just take a look at it from the shepherd's point of view. Which I think was pretty crazy, really, because they were, I'll just start this, the Christmas story is in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start on verse 15. I think I told you guys 17, but I'm just going to read a couple here. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see that thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now remember, these guys were out in the field doing their own thing, and the angels came. Could you imagine being those guys in the field, minding your own business? That'd be pretty shocking. The first thing he said is, don't be afraid, right? Well, wouldn't you be afraid if an angel showed up right in front of you? It was like, hey, I got some good news for you, man. There's this child that's born. Go check him out. And you'd be like, what? What? But the cool part is, they went, right? If God tells you to do something, go do it. Just go and find out what happens. Generally, it's pretty good. If it's from the Lord, it's good. So I did a little digging with the shepherds, and they were outcast people. They were the original misfits. Can you believe that? They were just like, they're simple guys, simple men. And if you think about the irony, Jesus being born in a manger, the first people he tells to go see him is the shepherds, the outcast people. I thought that was really cool. I was like, wow, these simple guys, they get to go first. How cool is that? It's kind of like us misfits, right? It's like, hey. So when these guys, another part of the shepherds I thought was, technically they were outcasts. They were unclean. They were claimed unclean because they worked with the sheep. And check this out. They couldn't even go to the temple because they were unclean. Yet, they took care of the animals that they sacrificed for the sins. And they couldn't take any part in it because they were unclean people. And I just thought it was ironic that God showed up, sent the angels to them first. It was like, I want you guys to go because they're humble guys. And check out what they did here. It says in verse 16, they hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everybody what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Drop down to verse 20, it says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and what they had seen. It was just as the angel told them. It's real. It's just like the scriptures say. And I think when we get to the end, we're going to go, it was real. Just like we've been told, we're going because God's telling us to go. And I think when we get there, it's going to be exactly how it says it is here. And I think a lot of people are going to miss it, unfortunately. They just, like you were talking about Alpha, they think you're good enough to get there, things like that. I don't know. You know, but we keep casting the seed on the water, right? You keep telling your friends. You keep spreading God's word, showing the love of God to everybody, right? You guys still with me? All right, so the guys were simple men, and they were praising God. I thought it was cool because he told those guys because they would share the word. They're just simple guys, so they would tell God's story without, they're just simple guys. They have really no reason to be puffed up or anything. They would just share what they had seen. They were forever changed. And they went, it says they hurried, when the angel sent them there, they said they hurried there. And they went by faith that they were going to find what the angels told them. I just thought that was amazing. I was just like, that is. So what did they find? They found him, right? So if you go and if you seek God, you will find God. You want more God? Just go looking for him because he's all over the place. You don't have to look far. It's in his word. If you really want to develop your relationship with God, just get in the word a little more. I think that maybe not a resolution, but maybe it's something we should do is a closer walk with thee. I think we said that last year is what we want. Each year we want to be a stronger walk with God each day, right? Do you guys feel like you've grown more than you have this year than you had last year? Are you closer to God now than you were a year ago? I hope so. That's the point, right? To become more like him. You guys are coming, which is awesome, but I'm praying that you're learning and I'm praying that you're growing. Because we all are, right? We're a big family and we want to keep growing together. And it's rough when you see people drop off. You know, because they've come so far and then they give up or they take a break, and you want them to get back in the game. All we can do is encourage them to get back in the game, because God wants them back. Their salvation may not be at risk, but they want to walk with God. It's just better when you're walking with God than it is away from God. It's really a simple formula. Things are better when you're reading, when you're here, when you're coming to groups, you're sharing your faith with people, you're being a light for God. Things are just better. They're just better. You're blessed for doing it. You don't do it to get blessed. You just do it out of what God's done for you. And I think if we just keep on doing the bad sins that we've already been forgiven for, I think it becomes unsacrificial. It's not sacrificial what God did anymore, because we're doing it anyway, right? We need to work on those things. If you have a thorn in your side, work on it, whatever it may be. If there's something hanging you up, work on that, whatever that is. And it could be anything. So it says these shepherds were excited. They were changed after that. And I was trying to find something, because it didn't really say that they were saved, perhaps, but they were the first ones there. They were selected by God to get there, and by faith that they went, and they were changed after they went. But it doesn't say they're saved, but I would think they were definitely changed after being there. Amen? So it's the same way with us. When you encounter Jesus, or when you've experienced God in your life, and he has changed your life, there's no turning back, right? You are a different person. It's easy to say, I surrender, but when you experience God, when you go, man, there is no possible way. God was here, God was there, I felt his presence, he did it. You are forever changed. You're just like, wow, I saw it, I experienced it, I am different. So if I'm different, why would I want to go back to being the old guy, right? We're in a battle, guys, you guys know that, right? Spiritual war, every single day. It's not going to let up until we get there. In fact, it may get harder as we get older and time gets closer. That's why we stay in the huddle. Stay strong. Keep training, because when you train and then you're ready for the game, when the time comes, when that storm comes, you can withstand the storm. You might bend like a palm tree, but you won't break, because God's there. You have spiritual equity to draw off of. If you don't, you're going to be one of the ones that fall away. And you'll probably stay gone for a while, because then you'll be focusing on your circumstances instead of focusing on God. And I know that's easy to say, and I know the circumstances are very difficult, but we have somebody that wants to help us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God is on our side to get us through all these hard things that we're going through. And it will pass eventually, and you will be stronger for it if you hang on through these trying times. All we have to do is hang on. Just hang on, keep moving, and keep growing. It's difficult, because it's hard for all of us. We're all struggling with something, right? No matter what it may be. It may be something physical, it could be something spiritual, it could be anything, but we all have our cross to bear every day. Would it be easier to stay home tonight? Heck yeah. I think we all say that, right? But we're here. It's all part of what we do. It's just part of coming in each week, get filled up, and go out there. You got to keep feeding your spirit. Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. You know, it won't be long you start seeing the spring commercials about feeding your lawn. And those Scotts commercials. They always say, they always have that Scottish guy, feed your lawn, feed it, because it will grow if you do. It's the same way with our spiritual life. If you feed it, it will grow. So we come to faith in Jesus. There's a shift in our lives. Right? We're not the same person. We don't want to be the old guy any longer. Now we're convicted of doing some of the things that we used to do. We have Jesus in our life, and we're like, I want to change, God. I don't want to be this same guy. I want to be different. And he will make you different. All we have to do is just keep Jesus on the throne of our hearts and keep going. Keep going. Keep pressing on. Paul says, press on. Amen. Excuse me. So now you're a Christian. Now what? You guys remember going through that? Most people here are younger to older Christians now. So I don't know if there's anybody that's like a young, very, very young Christian. But Do you remember when you were first a Christian and you're like, well, now what do I do? All I know is my old lifestyle. Preacher tells me I have to change and do something different, but all I know is my old lifestyle. So how do I change it? You learn. You start learning. You come to groups. You read. You get closer to God. You listen to worship music. You start changing who you hang out with. Maybe you have people that are dragging you down or keeping you frozen or maybe keeping you stuck between two worlds. In your mind, you want to be here, but in the other, when you're around your friends, you want to be over there. Anybody struggle with that? I used to back in the day because I was having so much fun in my old life. I liked it, but I hated it. But I wanted to move forward. I wanted to be different. I struggled for the longest time straddling that fence before finally let go of the world. Not easy, but it comes after learning and experiencing God and putting your faith to work. Do something, get involved, things like that. So now you're a Christian, so now what? Now you're in a family, right? We're in God's kingdom now. So now that you're in a kingdom, now there's a certain way that we should handle ourselves, right? There's a whole new code of morality, if you will, to follow. And it's not just rules to beat you down. It's to make you better. It's what God requires. We have our part to do too, right? He saved us from our sins, but now it's our turn. We have to get better. We want to get better, right? So now you're a Christian, now what? So let's go to, this is one of my favorite chapters. It's Colossians chapter 3. And let's see here. Let's see, we'll start in chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Since God chose you to be holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We already talked about patience tonight. That's a tough one. And it was funny, Alpha, that you mentioned that, because I remember being a young Christian, that's one of the first things I wanted was more patience. That was not a good thing to pray for, because he put me in situations to test me, to make me better, and it was not good. I failed. I failed a lot, time after time after time. I'm like, I thought I was supposed to be getting better at this. I'm actually getting worse. Because these situations that you're trying to teach me, God, or I can't do it. I just couldn't do it. So it says, clothe yourself. And we can only do that through the Holy Spirit. With tender-hearted mercy, kindness. Kindness, man. Take those sharp edges off. Let God whittle that stone off, your stone heart. Let him in there. Let him do some work and be kinder to one another. My mother-in-law says that all the time. Be kind to one another and make the world a better place. Simple saying, but it's true. A kind word goes a long way. There was a lady that came in here Wednesday night, right before a prayer group. She had been here before, and I recognized her, but I didn't know her name, and she was in a bad situation, and she was very nervous, and she was probably tweaking at the time. But the thing she said, she goes, I love this place because you guys were so kind to me. And I thought that was cool. I was just like, well, we don't have a kindness class for people to act a certain way when a new person comes. This is how we are, which was a compliment to us. I was like, that's awesome. I was like, well, why don't you come in? Or why don't you come Saturday? I tried to get her to stay for prayer group because she was in a bad relationship. She was looking to get out. She was really scared. All she wanted to do is just fill out a prayer card and leave. And that's what she did. But she did say, thank you for your time. Thanks for being kind to me and things like that. But she was just in a bad way. But it was like, you're seeing the kindness of Jesus. Because I remember when I was first around people like that, I didn't really like being around people like that. For one way, I didn't even know how to handle them. They were just tweaking and I just didn't want to be around them. I didn't know anything about it, so I just wanted to get away. But God has taught me how to deal with those people a little better, so it's not as bad. It's welcome them in as you are. God accepts you as you are. He wants to change you, but come as you are. with everything. If you're carrying heavy weight right now, just come as you are. Come to the cross and say, God, I need to get rid of this stuff and leave it at the cross. Dump that wheelbarrow of garbage. We got a new year that's coming. Just dump this stuff that you've been carrying all year long. If there's anything weighing you down, now's time for change. Like I was saying, now's a good time to change. In the end of this year, we got a new start, fresh start coming next week. So we can end it. Just get rid of it. So we get tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility. Be gentle and have patience with one another. That's a tough one, right? Because when you're dealing with a volume of people, sometimes it builds. Because I found this out about the shepherds too, which I thought was a little ironic, is when the shepherds heard news, it was always bad news. Something happened. One died, one ran off, one's hurt. It was never good news until the angels came. And I was like, we're kind of mini shepherds here. And generally, that's about all we ever hear is bad stuff. It was like, golly. But every once in a while, there's some good encouragement. Did you guys see, did that thing post yesterday that you posted from Ted? Onto the Misfit? Did anybody read that? That was awesome, wasn't it? That was one we're saving for a rainy day, amen, because that was pretty good. What a great guy, too. Great supporter, fine Christian guy. It's very, very cool that he would say that, but it's nice to hear good news occasionally, you know, because it's not easy. This is not easy at all, you know, so just a little encouragement is nice to hear every once in a while. So be patient with another. Okay, here we go. Verse 13 is starting to get a little harder now. It says, make allowances for each other's faults. Back to what? What do you mean, man? Make an allowance for somebody else? Their shortcomings? I don't want to do that. In fact, you've offended me. So I'm going to carry that. How dumb is that? Come on, man. We're supposed to let that stuff go, right? It says, make an allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Well, I can say that we've had some people get offended here and left. And really, it just kind of showed where they were spiritually. Not knocking them, I'm just saying. They were just, you could tell where you are spiritually, because I guarantee if you're trying to walk in the Spirit, you'll be able to deal with people better. God will give you what you need. He will give you the ability to deal with each other. He will. It won't be easy, but at least we can talk about it without wanting to kill each other. Yep. Right? Like I said, it's not, I mean, we can't take it on the surface as you offend me, so I'm forever mad at you because you offended me. That's not right. That's not very Christian-like. And even to non-believers, that's the thing. We're supposed to be the bigger person, right? We're supposed to always take the high road. Sometimes I complain because the high road sucks sometimes. It's like, well, when do I get to voice my opinion? I can't. It's not right for me to. Evil for evil is not good. Although it's tempting sometimes. I have to admit. I have to admit. Sometimes it's like right there. And I was like, that's not the way Jesus would handle it. So what would Jesus say or what would Jesus do right now? He'd probably say, just hold your tongue for the moment. Just hold your tongue for the moment and let them talk it out. Try to work it out. Make allowances for each other and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, forgiveness is at the core of the gospel, right? Jesus forgave us and we're supposed to forgive as he forgives. Think about that. Think about what he has saved you from, you personally. So if we were to forgive somebody, that'd be kind of like chump change, wouldn't it? Compared to what Jesus did for us. I mean, if we can't do that, then something's wrong with us. We need to forgive just as he forgives. Let Jesus, if somebody's wronged you, let him deal with it. Just give it to him and say, I am offended. I have been wronged, God, but I'm giving this to you. Help me deal with this. And he will. He will. He will soften your heart where you could forgive that person. Even when you're not the one who caused the situation, but you can forgive them. We call that cleaning up our side of the street. See, I'm not offended anymore at you. I'm not mad at you. I forgive you. But that person might get angry when you say, I forgive you, and they'd be like, well, what are you forgiving me for? You did it. You know? It was like, hey, I just want to set the record straight. I forgive you, man. Let's move on. Let's move forward. You know, life's way too short to have a bitter spirit, right? Or bitter feuding in your family. I know we all have crazy families. That's just how it is. But it doesn't do us any good to stay angry or just constantly in bitter feuding with somebody. Life's too short for that. Life is way too short. It's funny, I had a text from a guy right after Christmas, and he asked me, he says, hey, have you surveyed anybody to ask them how their Christmas was? And I said, well, I've talked to several people, and I would say I didn't hear anything negative from anybody. Everybody says, oh, it was good, it was quiet, it was a good time, everything. I never heard to hear anything negative. And man, he sent a list about a mile long of all the stuff that he heard. Families fighting and all this stuff, and I'm like, man, who are all these people is what I was thinking. I was like, I have it good because it was nice and mellow on my side. I'm thinking, who are you hanging around? Why are you hearing all this bickering and all this stuff? Obviously, they're not saved people, I wouldn't think, to be acting like that, but I just thought it was interesting because he had two sides of the story, and I was like, oh, it's all good on my end. Everybody I ask is doing well, or at least okay. I just thought it was interesting. So are you holding a grudge against anybody? Anybody at all? If you are, let it go. Let it go. Don't drag it into the new year anymore. Just let it go. Just let it go, man. When you forgive that person, it sets you free. That's a cool part. When you clean up your side of the road, it sets you free. You're just like, I'm done. I'm over it. You can handle it however you want. And some of the people that have left because they are offended or still offended, and it's been a long time. A long time. They're still carrying that. I was like, man, that was years ago. You're still thinking about that? I tell you the truth, so much time's gone by, I don't even remember what we were feuding over. I've already forgot about it. I'm moving on. So I'm not going to drag that anchor around. So, all right, so we have tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for one another. Forgive anyone that offends you. And remember that the Lord forgive you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. All the way back to verse 12, since God chose you to be holy people, he loves you. We're to love others. And I remember it early on just like, well, I really don't know how to love others, God. I like people, but I don't know how to love them. But through his word and learning through other sermons and things like that, it's taught me to love others as Jesus loves us. So we need to work it out, work out our differences with one another. Love. Love. I don't know how, I should have Googled to see how many times love was in the Bible because it's a lot. But it holds, it's the glue that holds everything together. God so loved the world, right, that he sent his only son for us. We're the whosoever's. Whosoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. We're the whosoever's. We believe, amen? Love is the glue that holds it all together. And the peace, it comes from Jesus. When we love, that's when we get the peace that surpasses all understanding. We can't manufacture the peace. The peace comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. And when we're trying to do all these virtues, things will get better. It's a guarantee. Things will work out. They just work out in God's favor, whatever his timing is, which, as we all know, could be a minute or it could be several years. But our thing is to walk in obedience, just like the shepherds did. He told them, the angels told them to go, and they went. So if God's telling you to go, go. He's telling you to do, do. If he's telling you to forgive somebody, do it. Just do it. Ask God, God, is there anybody or is there anything in my life that's between you and me? If there is, please take it away. And he'll work it out. He's got a funny way of doing things. We all have experienced that, right? binds it all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. That word rule is an athletic term that Paul used, meaning like umpire. Let Christ be the umpire of what's in your heart. I thought that was interesting. I was like, well, that's interesting. The referee of what things that comes into your heart, what you need to get rid of. Let Christ do that. You guys enjoy hearing the kids? I love the kids. Yeah, poor Candy. She's not duct taped to the chair or anything, is she? Yeah, sit down. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Always be thankful. There's always something in our life, no matter how chaotic it is, to be thankful for. Amen? If you don't think there is, to increase your thankfulness, why don't you take an inventory of your life, of blessings that God given you, like your family, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your house. These are all things that God has given us. Relationships, the blessings go on and on when you think about it. It's like we couldn't do this on our own, amen? We've all tried that and we shipwrecked it, right? As fun as it was, and as sinful as it was, we shipwrecked it. That lifestyle is not what God wants. So we're to always be thankful. Praying to be thankful. Do you guys pray to be thankful? Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for getting me through this storm of life or maybe some health issues. Thank you, God. Be thankful. And also thank him for the future of what he's going to do, because he's always up to something. He's always paving the way ahead of us. Doesn't seem like it sometimes. Seems like we're lost in the fog sometimes, but we just keep going. Keep following the trail. It's going to lead us there someday, guys. We just hang on. Keep marching. Keep going. It gets cumbersome from time to time. Amen? And it's okay to take a break, a short break, a pit stop, if you will. Get back in the race. Paul says, press on. We're going to keep going until we get to the end. And we were talking about Wednesday at group. I think Tim mentioned it. He wanted to be the old beat-up car that was smoking and the engine's knocking and tires are flat and there's oil spraying out the side. But you know what? Finished the race. We made it. Yeah, when we get there, we're like, woo, we made it. Thank you, God. Let's see verse 16 here. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Gratitude, man, it opens our hearts up for Jesus to work when we're thankful and we're grateful. You know, we live one of the greatest countries in the world. Might be up for debate now, as chaotic as it is. But you know what? We're still doing way better than a lot of the world. And a lot of things. God has blessed this country. And I'm praying that our country will turn back to him. And not just for the blessings, but to prepare for the end, because we know the end is coming. He's coming back. The word promises us his second coming. He's coming. Are you guys prepared? We were thinking, well, what if he showed up tonight? Would you be ready? I think I would be too. I really don't have anything to hide. Back in the day when I was asked that question, I'd be like, give me a little time first, Jesus, before you showed up. Let me hide some things over here, do a little over here, you know, make it all nice and perfect before you got here. It's not like that. In the beginning, he didn't come when it was perfect. He came in that lonely manger. What a humble guy. Think about the humility that God came. So teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, or whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. All that we do, guys, all that we do, We're representing Christ. Do we get it right all the time? No. He knows that. But he also puts us in, I think sometimes he puts us in situations where we can redeem ourselves. Like, okay, you blew that one. Well, here's another chance. Or, hey, you missed that divine appointment. Here's another one. All we have to do is have our eyes and ears open. It's all around. People are hurting all around us. All we have to do, show the love of Christ. We're his representative, right? It just said in verse 17, whatever you do, we're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel like a representative? Remember, we got people watching our lives too. And they're just waiting to go, aha, I knew it. Aha, I knew it. It couldn't be real. It is real. But God forgives us when we mess up, right? We just don't want to fall in that rut and just continue to mess up, because you can't get more grace by sinning more. He forgives us, and you get back on track. So as we're looking forward to the new year, maybe there's some changes. Paul just listed some things here. Maybe there's some things on this list that we need to work on. Maybe we're already there. Maybe we're all good to go. I'll just keep marching. Whatever our case may be, as we have a new year coming, let's make it the best new year we can. Keep being a representative for Christ. Everywhere we go, whatever we do or say, be a representative. You know, you can do things and you can say a kind word. That's being a representative. You know, you don't have to do big things to represent Christ. It can be anything small. In fact, he doesn't call you to do big things anyway, because we're all a group, and if we all did one little small thing, how big would that be? Just a little at a time. It does add up. You know, it's funny. I had this doesn't pertain to anything, but kind of adding up. I did my deck back in October, and I had 34 pieces of lumber that were like 12 feet long. So I tried the theory little at a time thing. So I cut up 3 boards every week and put it in the trash. And I made it to the end of the year. My goal was to be done by the end of the year, and I did it. 3 boards each week, and it worked. It adds up. Those little things add up. You do it week by week by week by week, and it did. It worked. I was like, first of all, I wanted to see if I could do it until it was gone. You know, and it got me thinking about my walk with Christ. I just do a little at a time, keep focused, keep going, and it's going to add up. You're going to get stronger as you go. So you guys excited about the new year? Yeah, the great unknown. We have Jesus, though, right? So if it turns sour, which it may, at least we have a Savior, amen? You know, Scripture tells us that it's going to get tough as time goes on. Before his second coming, there's a lot of bad things going to happen. Be prepared. Just be prepared. So to recap this, what Paul was talking about, he gives us a little strategy here to help us live for God day by day. We'll just kind of recap them. It says, the first one was imitate Christ, be compassionate, and be forgiving. If you need to work on that, work on that. Number 2 says, let love guide your life. If you love others, if you love God, you will love others. Number 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. He has given that peace. We're no longer enemies of God because we've let God in our heart. Amen? We have the salvation of Christ. We're no longer enemies. Number 4, always be thankful. Number 5, keep God's word in your heart at all times. And the last one, we just read here in 17, it says, to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks in all situations. Amen. So we give God thanks for everything, even the bad stuff, because we know he's up to something good. Amen. So I got this this quote. I don't even know where it came from. I wanted to share. It says, now that Christmas is over, it's time to live the everyday, ordinary days, living a life that pleases God, living a life that points to Jesus, living a life and doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, living a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? Just live a life for God day by day. Little by little is all we have to do. We don't worry about next week. Just worry about tomorrow. Worry about now and just keep moving. This is what I'm going to do. You know, each day we're faced with who we're going to serve. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve ourselves. It's our choice every day. I can tell you when you serve yourself for days and days and days, you're going to drift off and it's going to be quick. You're going to be off the road in the ditch somewhere and you're like, how did I get here? Well, you flipped the script and it was all about you for like the last month. We see it all the time. We see people just wander off for really no apparent reason other than serving themselves. So keep Christ first every day. Amen. That's all I have for this evening, guys. I just pray you guys have a good New Year's Eve. Safe one. Celebrate however you do. Just be safe. And don't be shooting guns because they're saying that's not good. So, what goes up comes down. So don't be celebrating with the guns. So, all right, I'm gonna pray and then we can hang out or do whatever we want to do. So, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for 2023, God. It's been up and down all around. There's been some good stuff. There's been some bad stuff, God. But we know. I think it was better than bad. But thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. We thank you for the preparations that you're making for 2024. We thank you for the build next door. We're excited about that, God, opening that up. And see what you have in mind, God, with the kids and just the whole church in general, God. We just thank you for what you're doing. Just pray with us be with us as we go home, Jesus. Keep us safe. And just let us celebrate the new year. So we just thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's all. Thank you.